Welcome to Roundtable Mindset, the podcast where we seek to understand and share different perspectives in order to grow and challenge our own. And we encourage you, our guest, to do the same.
Each week, we will pick a topic to discuss sharing our own unique thoughts and insights. There will be times when we won't agree, and let's be real, that's probably going to be most of the time, and that's okay. We feel it's important to understand that we can live in this polarized world and still respect one another and even be friends.
Well, hello, and welcome back to Roundtable Mindset. This is Jamie.
And I'm Malin.
And we're back with an all-new episode of exciting information from your friends at Roundtable Mindset, straight to you.
I still feel like there needs to be music there, like, we're, you know, back in black or something, that song.
Guess who's back? Have
some sort of,
back again.
Exactly. Like, I feel like we need to get better at that. Like, we can over-edit. I know we've said that in the past. But I think we do need to invest in some additional music to kind of just slide in when we need it.
I don't know that I want to pay for that, though, for this one. Specifically, we do not own the rights to Guess Who's Back Again. So just put that disclaimer out there. And we weren't playing it for real. It was just me singing random words that came out of my mouth.
Jamie, if you've listened to me sing, everybody would be like, no, that's not the song. That wasn't it. Because it was not.
Oh, that's fun. So how have you been, my friend?
My life's pretty boring right now. I'm after the holidays, like we're into that second quarter now at work. So things are pretty much just running along without really much thought. So work's kind of just going, wrapping up kids end of school. And of course, the only real big disruption came earlier in April was that eclipse, which was pretty cool to see. So where we live, we got to see about 86% of the totality. So it was like someone took the sun and did a dimmer switch, which was kind of crazy. And then, you know, we had to go and buy our special glasses so we could look up at the sun and kind of see it happen throughout the, I think it was like a 2-hour window that it occurred.
I got a glimpse of the eclipse through a pair of eclipse glasses by the skin of my teeth because work was super crazy. Life was a little crazy. And I did not realize it was the day on the day, right? So I think you messaged me and were like, hey, do you have your glasses? And I'm like, oh crap. No, I don't.
What's happening?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, is it the 8th already? Oh my gosh. So I drove around for about an hour and a half before I went to work, trying to find a pair of glasses. And I started at some gas stations. The last gas station I went to said, try the big stores. They probably will still have some. So I walked up to the door of the local large box pharmacy. And there was a note on the door that says, no, we do not have eclipse glasses. And I was like, all right, I probably...
They were just missing the word Jamie.
Right.
We do not have any more.
Yeah. Somebody even took highlighters to like put little like symbols on the thing and everything to catch your attention. So I made one last ditch effort. I went to the Sonic because they had the, I don't know, like the blackout float or something like that. And then they were giving
They had like a solar eclipse dessert or drink or something.
Yeah. Limited edition. That was the last day you could get it. And they were giving out free solar eclipse glasses with every purchase. So I thought, you know what? I'll just go buy. I mean, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll just go buy the float. I'll get the glasses and then let them keep the float. Like, don't even make the float because I'm not going to eat that at 8 o'clock in the morning. But I went and they were like, oh, sorry, we sold out yesterday. So I was like, okay, well, I ordered ahead for Jamie. And they said, okay, Jamie, come on ahead. And I went up because this is my local drink stop. I'm there a lot. So they all know me. And the manager, Christy, if you're listening, shout out to Christy. Heart your face. Thank you. She comes to the window with my order and a pair of solar eclipse glasses. And she said, I set a couple aside for myself and you can have these. And I was like, I was so excited to get a pair.
Christy, you're such a warrior. Sorry your kid wasn't able to see the eclipse because Jamie needed them.
Well, the word a couple could be taken very loosely. You know what I'm saying? But no, I appreciate the donation. And it was cool because it meant that everyone at my office got to see the eclipse too, if they wanted to. I shared it. We passed around and.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Went outside and looked together. It was kind of fun. So
we don't have to obviously spin on it here because this isn't the point of today's episode, but I did stumble across, I don't know if you've heard about this group of flat earthers.
I don't want to, mainly. I don't know if I want to go there today, my friend.
All I'm going to say is we desperately need to have one of those individuals onto our show. So if you happen to be a flat earther and you're listening to this episode, go ahead and send us a message. An email would be great at, roundtablemindset@gmail.com. Love to hear from you.
Malin would love to talk with you. I'm just kidding.
Jamie does too. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, yes. Let's make that happen at some point. I think that would be a great idea. So
as I'm seeing your face, I know everybody, we're not video yet, maybe in the future, but right now you're missing Jamie's face, which just tells a whole different story, which I love.
Shh, you're giving away the secrets. The secrets, Malin.
Through gritted teeth, she's like, yes, I would love to have a conversation. Go ahead, give us a call.
Well, and behind the scenes, when Malin's like, do you have any questions for a flat earther? You don't want to hear these answers.
We would have to have the bleep button, really, to be honest. Oh, the bleep button mercy. Would have to be like, it's going to be fun. So that's a little tease for everyone. That's coming. It's going to be fun. Jamie, we'll
have
a good
time. Are you open to having a flat earther change your mind?
Oh, no. No, no, no. What's interesting to me, again, see, we're going to segue. So I'm going to say this and I'm going to put a pin in it. It's interesting to hear their thoughts and their theories and how they try to back them up and that they actually believe some of the stuff that they're saying. It's fascinating to me. However, I have not encountered any flat earther through reason, logic, or even scientific evidence that can produce fact around why the earth is flat. They can't. I've seen them bring evidence that supports the spherical, or I don't know if you can call it a perfect circle. I'm going to call it a circle, you know, the globe earth. They just as quickly just ignore everything. They don't even answer your questions. It's really quite fascinating. I would love to have a flat earther come on. And again, not to make fun, but to really understand how do you get to that point? How do you get with today's technology and knowledge and satellites? And I mean, we have pictures from orbit. It's like, how do you get to the point where you say, nope, it's all a facade. It's a flat earth. I don't get it.
You know, it's funny because I really do consider myself an open-minded individual. I really do consider myself someone who is open to other perspectives. I mean, that's what we've talked about for like 12 months, right? And here I am like, nope, because it's like, I don't know. So maybe this is a conversation I probably need to be part of and I need to shut my mouth and open my ears and listen. The challenging part of that conversation is that you are not going to change my mind. I am not going to suddenly believe the earth is flat, and that is a hard place to be. So I think this will be a good conversation if we can flat earth society, give us a call.
Yes. Again, I challenge you, try to change our minds. But again, I don't want to have someone come on just to make fun. That's not what this is.
No.
I do want to really have a good conversation and understand why some of these things. But I tell you what, I'm part of a group now because I couldn't help myself. So I became part of a flat earthers group. I mean, Jamie, you want some good, like, just this cannot be real conversation. Go take a peek. Unbelievable. That's, unbelievable.
I can't. I will try.
Okay, so more to come on that. Yeah, so more to come on that. We'll be open. Again, this is part of, you know, reaching out to people that we can have difficult conversations. I think this one would be difficult on both of our ends. So it should be good.
Great segue to our conversation today, Malin. It's like
I had to move it around.
It's like it's by design or something. No, I'm just kidding. Well, and that does bring us to our topic today. You know, we've kind of talked about perspective versus perception. We've talked about echo chambers and epistemic bubbles.
I was going to say, don't forget about epistemic bubbles.
I love that one because it's fun to say. We've talked about just, you know, where do we get our perspective? Because that's what we bring to the table, right? Is whenever we enter these conversations, we're bringing our own perspective. We're bringing our own lived experience. We're bringing our perception of things. And we kind of wanted to bring it all home as we're coming up on, you know, the end of the first year of podcasting together. We kind of want to wrap it up in a bow and say, hey, this is what we've learned this year. So we're going to talk a little bit today about how to put into practice what we've learned about having these hard conversations, what Malin and I know about having them together, what makes it hard, why it's important, and how we can do it better moving forward.
And probably share some times when we did it absolutely the wrong way. At least I know I have a couple. And, you know, we've spent so much time talking about this, and putting this theory into practice is really great. I really am looking forward to this conversation and then future conversations, because to me, that's the whole reason why we've spent so much time trying to share and understand and even give the space for other perspectives to come into our worldview. I know we've had challenging conversations in this last year. We're going to have even more challenging conversations with unique individuals from probably a variety of walks of life that we might even agree with, disagree with, or maybe we don't even know about. And what I love is, how do we take everything we've talked about and start applying it? And so I'm really looking forward to this, like I said, this conversation and our future conversations with individuals, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And I'm excited. I'm excited to have those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we have had some difficult conversations. We have not aired all of those difficult conversations. As a matter of fact, I think I've got a couple on my desktop that we recorded and didn't release because they were, they weren't so pretty. So I guess, you know, as we're starting out and you think about having these conversations with people who are absolutely different from you or have different beliefs and moral values and things like that. What do you think it is that makes that so hard? Why is this such a difficult space to live in right now?
As you know, I have research, but I'm not even going to go to my research yet. I'm just going to give you my this is Malin's point of view. Nothing else other than just what we've done for the last year and my own personal experience. I personally find it difficult to talk to someone when they have a different point of view than mine, when it goes counter opposite to what I am, where I'm at. I find it a lot easier to have conversations with someone who maybe have adjacent points of view to mine, because there's a little bit of middle ground going into the conversation, knowing there's a little bit of even if that's a stretch, right? Even if that middle ground is one off topic thing, but at least you know you have something. It's when you go and have those conversations with somebody that you just know opposes everything that you stand for, and vice versa, right? Like, you know, I'm going to talk to someone who looks at my point of view as complete rubbish. And when you go into those conversations, that's the ones that I personally am like, where do I even begin? Where do I even start? Because I've already gone into that conversation feeling like I'm already defeated. You know, you and I have had these really great conversations, but we have a 30 plus year friendship that kind of makes us have common ground. You don't get that with a lot of people in life. And when you meet somebody new, or you say you have someone who's a friend for 6 months, a year, to be able to start approaching these types of discussions, it's difficult because, like I said, I feel like I'm already defeated. Where do I go from here? And depending on the conversation, there's some things that you can just kind of say, you know, you don't have to be quite so opinionated in it, in your point of view. But then there's some topics where your full opinion is warranted and needed, and it's going to challenge the other person, and you're going to be challenged. And so those are the hard conversations for me. And when I start going into those from the very beginning, I have walls up. I've insulated myself. So again, I'm waiting for there to be zingers thrown at me, or for my toes to get stepped on, or maybe even elevation of speech, or, you know, maybe there's some anger that's going on. That's all going on in my mind as I'm approaching somebody about to have a difficult conversation. And I will just stop here short to say that's when I know I'm about to have a difficult conversation. When I enter a difficult conversation that I wasn't expecting, that's a whole different ball of wax. But if I know that there's a conversation that's coming, that's how I prepare myself. And that's what's going on in my mind.
Reflecting on this, I was thinking about how, you know, we've talked about it before, those late nights in Perkins, right? And the the philosophical conversations that we would have, and how, you know, we'd sit around the table with a whole bunch of our friends and, you know, just shoot different ideas at each other. And what was interesting to me is how open I was at that time to hearing other ideas, I guess mulling over those ideas and trying to see how they fit for me, and how less open to that I have been as I've grown, as I've aged, right? And so part of me wonders if it was easier back then because I wasn't a full person yet. Like, I was still trying to figure out who I was and how I fit and things like that. And so that made it easier to hear those things because I wasn't sure. And as I've gotten older, I'm pretty confident in where I am. I also think that coming to these conversations is hard because of past experiences of difficult conversations. You know, there's this level of, I don't know, moral injury that comes along with having a really hard conversation with someone who doesn't agree with you and when it doesn't go well, right? And how, I mean, and there have been times where I've walked away from a conversation and just thought, oh, how sad. You know, I feel sad that this person believes this way and can't see a different way. So I think that those are pieces of it for me. I also think that a lack of exposure to maybe A, different ideas, B, people who are different than you, or hearing other life experiences that are different than your own, or even just being in an environment where maybe you are in an echo chamber or an epistemic bubble, you know what I mean? Just not having exposure to those other ideas, I think that makes these conversations really difficult too. So those were kind of Jamie's three ideas about why these are hard to have.
Well, and when you were talking, another thing that pumped into my brain is you can also be overexposed to a conversation or an idea. And maybe that's what's making this a difficult conversation. So it's so maybe it's not so much that it's brand new, but maybe you've had so much experience now and maybe it's colored your perspective. And so when somebody comes to you with that conversation, you now have this whole lens that you're looking through because you've had so many interactions, so many other conversations, so many lived experiences that now those biases have been created and you know the other person's point of view before they even open their mouth because you've heard it all before, right? So now you're just like, I don't need to hear your point of view. I know your point of view.
Perfect example is the pro-choice versus pro-life argument, right? I think that's one that has been, we've all been through that conversation enough that, you know, someone walks up to the table and says, hey, I'm pro-choice. There's some automatic assumptions about who you are and what you're going to say and what you believe in coming to that conversation. And yeah, that would make having that conversation even harder. So I think that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. Well, and I do think you hit on something too that I am firmly confident is often a problem in these hard conversations, and that's bias. You know, implicit bias and explicit bias, you know, things that we don't realize that we believe and things that we do know that we believe. I think those are things that are underlying in these difficult conversations also. And that, you know, that can really, I guess, color a conversation if you're not aware of them. And if you are aware of them, I think that changes the way the conversation can go too. So,
well, and I will say, cause I do want to make sure there's some time that we can get into a little bit of our research. Cause I think that's going to be great to kind of, you know, fill in some of these gaps, but I do want to take a moment just to say there are times when in these conversations, I know, and I'm talking about in the past, in the present, and probably in the future, although I hope it's less in the future, when I go into these conversations and I know I'm right. And that's a difficult space to be in and a place to go into any kind of conversation. When you know that you have the upper hand because you were right, and that could be through morals or intelligence or research or whatever it is, when you go into a conversation knowing that you are 100% right, and now you are not even worried about what the other person is saying or what they are going to say, and it's all about how do I strategically show this person how wrong they are, I have walked into many conversations that way, again, in my past. I have had some of those conversations in my present, and I can only hope that in the future I have less of those types of conversations because they never end well. And when I was younger, I always asked myself, how come that didn't go very well? How come they can't see what I see? How come they got so offended? Well, thankfully, the older version of myself looks back and says, because you walked in there telling them without even listening to their thoughts or ideas how wrong they were. I started the conversation. Even sometimes I said those words, you are wrong, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Other times it was my tone of voice. It was my nonverbal communication skills. It was maybe I rolled my eyes when I shut up. I mean, there's a variety of reasons and ways I was telling them how wrong they were before the conversation even started. And talk about a wet blanket to any type of discussion, right? Like, that's only going to make everybody... I mean, do you want to go have a conversation when you know the person's just going to tell you how wrong they are before they even hear your thoughts? Or do you want to have a conversation with someone who is at least open enough to say, hey, here's a topic, what do you think? And then sits back and just listens to what you have to say.
As much as I want to sit here in this conversation and be like, yeah, Malin, you should do less of that. As you're saying that, I'm feeling horribly convicted that I know that I come to some of these conversations that way too. And I feel like I have a ton of good skills in conversation, right? Like, I feel like I have a great deal of empathy when I come to these conversations.
Oh, there it is. I know you bring it in. What are we, 23 minutes in and Jamie uses the empathy card?
Well, I do, because I do appreciate understanding where another person comes from. And so, you know, you say that, and then I start to think, well, wait a second. Gender equality in the workplace, I still think you're wrong, right? Like, I mean, like, I'm giving myself some moral high ground or something. And so I think that that's a really good point, that is something that we have to really watch in ourselves and understand in other people when we come to the table to have these conversations. I hadn't thought of that one, so thanks.
Well, and since the ball's kind of rolling before we get there, I think one of the other things that we all need to practice, myself, all our listeners, you, Jamie, is I think we need to practice giving people grace. And sometimes that means giving ourselves grace. I think that's a term that people throw around. I think people say, oh, we need to give them grace. But I think if you sit back and think about it, when you get offended, because again, when you have these difficult conversations or you have conversations in general, there will be times that you will be offended. That doesn't mean you just take your toys and go home. That means you talk through it and you bring that to the table to say, listen, I'm sure, again, best of intentions, I'm sure you didn't mean this. Maybe in the rare case they say I meant it. Okay, that's a different conversation. But I think if we can live in that space where we say, okay, what you said was really offensive, I don't think you meant it to be that way, let's talk through it. Or you really shut me down when I was just trying to make my point. There's been so many conversations as an adult. Let's forget about being children or adolescents. As an adult, even in my work profession, when something I have said inadvertently or even intentionally, the other person picks up their toys and goes home and they stop the conversation. And I get it. That's difficult, but at least try to come back and let the other person know what happened, because there are some, even to this day, as I'm looking at you, Jamie, across the monitors, there are conversations that happened at work that I have no idea why they deteriorated or they broke down, because I don't know what I said that made them, I'm assuming they are offended and they turned away from the conversation, and it ultimately damaged our work relationship. I've asked, I even went to that person and apologized and said, I am sorry. I would really appreciate if you could let me know. And they even saw my apology as a way of kind of just continuing to rub their nose in whatever offense that I did to them. And so that's my last little thing that I just want to put out there, is I think we need to get in the habit. It's going to sting. Sometimes it's not your fault that happens. And sometimes it's not warranted. But when it does, I would hope everybody, and including myself, we don't just take our toys and go home. we try to at least sit there and work through it.
Of course, you're jumping ahead to the end of the book there, Malin, because that is a great tip for difficult conversations. Before we go there, I want to talk about why is it important to learn to have these conversations? I think, you know, I think we've talked about how much you and I believe that it is important to have these conversations. We've probably beat that thesis over the head for the last 12 months. But I don't know that we've ever really talked about why it's so important to go there. And maybe we have, and I just don't remember, but we're going to do it again. So, you know, I think we almost need to be inspired to have these conversations sometimes, right? So that's what I'm hoping for today. If you could, I guess if you could nail it down in, I don't know, 3 points or less, what makes these conversations, these spaces so important to explore with other people that are different than you?
So I will say that the three things that I've learned to appreciate from having these types of difficult conversations is, number one, it stretches me. So as much as I want to sit here and say, I am selfless when I do these types of conversation, it really is a selfish thing for me, because I've learned early on in my life, and we've talked about it before, broadening my perspective and understanding the different lenses that people use in life is a very valuable tool that I really want to do. I want to learn more and more and more as much as I can, because it gives me the ability to look into it. And again, you call it empathy, and that's a part of it. But having that understanding of where people are coming from helps me in a variety of different ways. So one of the whys for me is it helps me stretch. It helps me grow. It helps me expand beyond myself, because I believe as humans, we're creatures of habit. I have a routine every day when I get up. I go through it. I go, you know, shower, get ready for work, eat breakfast, do work. After work, I get off. We go hang out with the family. We have dinner. We watch a movie or a show, or we go out, we go to bed. And it's some variation of that every day, because that's comforting also to have to know that I have a routine. I think we get that way in all aspects of our life. And so having these difficult conversations stretches me beyond my comfort zone, which is painful at times, but also it's almost like a good stretch that you haven't done in a while. And you're like, oh, that feels kind of good, right? Another reason why it's good to have this conversation, this is to make sure that you are staying in touch with people. I felt like when I was early on, I could not relate to a lot of people in our generation, our class. I related very well to the older generation, and it's because I didn't take the time to try to understand our generation. I for whatever reason, I just didn't. I put up walls. I put up, you know, I knew enough of the people around me that I knew who I wanted to let in and who I didn't, even if they never spoken a word to me. And that's very dangerous. And so I think having these difficult conversations helps with that as well. The other one is, and it's part of stretching, but I consider it different, is I don't know what I don't know. And having these difficult conversations opens me up to having perspectives that I get to touch and see and hold, and brings new ideas into my brain and my wheelhouse and my perspective, and allows me the opportunity to do something with them. And it can spark, you know, ingenuity within myself. It can help with my imagination. There's now ways that I can solve problems that I never thought were possible because I had conversations with individuals. I let those ideas come into my head, and there's plenty of them that I just discarded because, again, for a variety of reasons we've talked about, maybe they don't match my morals or my ethics, or maybe it's not the right solution because it's flawed somehow. I don't know. But there are also a lot that came in that said, wow, this has really broadened my horizons. This has really given me more tools to work on myself and professionally on breaking down different scenarios. And to me, those are kind of the big three why these are so important to do. If I had to boil it all up to just one point, because it allows me to go beyond myself. Left to my own devices, I would be single-minded, I would have the world figured out, and I would be living my life in a box, and I wouldn't even care that I was in the box. having these conversations makes me realize there's a box and I don't want to just live in that box. I want to know what's outside of the box. I want to know what's outside of my own self. That to me is why having these types of conversations are very important. What about you?
You know, I don't know that I could have, my first point was exposure to other ideas. And I don't think I could have summed that up as well as you just did. So I agree with you. Being exposed to other ideas is important. And mostly because I think that because lack of exposure to those other ideas is part of what makes these conversations so hard, being exposed to those other ideas helps make these conversations easier. You know what I mean? Like, by doing it, by practicing it, you get better at it. And so I think that's important. And I just want to, I guess, echo those thoughts.
Keep that in mind when we bring a flat earther on.
I'm prepared to practice. Yes. So I also think it's important because if you look at the way things are now, compared to what they were before now, we are so polarized. And we've talked about that a lot of times, you know, how polarized it is. But it gets to a point where we're so polarized that it becomes uncivil and that we can't, it's like we're blind to the things that unite us. You know what I mean? And the things that we have in common, regardless of all kinds of things, the things that we have in common are so much greater than the things that make us different. And that is lost, I think, when we get into a space where we're as polarized as we are.
We used to be able to celebrate each other's differences, and we don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you have to be exactly like me in order for me to even recognize that what you have to say is valid. And that's incredibly sad. And, you know, as I'm doing a little bit of self-reflection, you know, there's been a lot of people that we've brought on that I have never been exposed to their lifestyle, or I adamantly disagree with their lifestyle, but that wasn't the point of the conversation. The point of the conversation was to understand and discuss and try to get a peek into their lives and why they do what they do, or how do they live in society, knowing society is looking at them in a certain lens. And even within those conversations, there are points where we should celebrate one another. We should celebrate the fact that we're not all exactly the same. And I don't know why I feel that way. And I can't even imagine what you were saying that made me trigger on this. But we have, as a society, we've lost the ability to just to say, you know what, you're different than me. And I like that.
No, I completely agree. And it's a sad thing to me. And I don't think it's a forever thing. I think that there are times in our history where we've probably had similar spaces. I think it's a cycle. I think that this happens. I just choose not to accept it. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to accept that there is not a common ground, that we cannot find some sort of common space to say, huh, we can all sit at this table and it's okay. You know, you think about the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. And as polarized as things have become, as much of a deficit there is between one side or the other side, or one idea and another idea, we haven't come up with any solutions that are effective. You know what I mean? It's like, in order to move forward, we have our best chance at doing that when there's multiple views at the table, all putting their heads together and looking at a problem from different perspectives and coming up with solutions that can work for everyone at that table. You know what I mean? And so I think that's the other reason why it's so important for me to push past that space where it's only people who agree with me or people who are going to regurgitate what I think and what I feel. And it's important for me to be able to bring those other perspectives to the table so that we can try and forge a way forward and say, how do we come together? How do we make sure that we're looking out for one another and not shutting the other side down and giving everyone an opportunity to participate and be heard? You know what I mean?
I do. And a word pops into my brain when you say that, which is consensus. somewhere along the line, and I've been guilty of this too, it is better for me to be right and for the other person to be wrong than it is to understand that we're never going to be on the same space. But where can we get to where we can give each other, you know, consensus? And I don't know if you know, this sounds so demeaning. I don't know if you know the meaning of the word of consensus. It wasn't until I was actually using it in one of my past employers that I really got to understand what the word consensus meant. And so it really was, it was called Pfister Five. And so people had to give their rating when we spent an entire 3 days together talking about this project that we're going to kick off. Is everybody ready for us to kick it off? And that means that it was leadership, that was the CIO, that was business partners, that was, you know, all the people coming together. And if you can imagine trying to get an entire group of 20 to 25 people to say yes, 100% on a thing is impossible to do, because there's always somebody that's like, but what about this? And so the term that we had to start using is, we needed you to get to consensus. We don't need you to love it 100%. We don't need you to say, I hate this 100%. We need you to get to a place where you can live with this decision. And that to me was the whole idea of consensus. And as I reflect on our conversation, that's what popped in my brain, because we don't do that anymore. It's either your way or my way. There can't ever be a way that maybe you lose a little bit and I lose a little bit, or heaven forbid, I win a little bit and you lose a little bit more than I lose because I'm winning a little bit. But maybe that's because we need to be looking at this as, where can we move the needle to where we both have somewhat happiness, although we're probably not both getting exactly what we want, but we're also not just miserable. So get to a point where we can support it, but it's maybe not either the greatest idea or it's the worst idea. And as I think that concept is gone in our society right now too. I hope it's cyclical. I hope it comes back. But right now, as this polarized, you know, society that we live in, you see it in politics. I think you see it in religion. I think you see it talking to your neighbors across the street now. That whole concept of consensus is just, it's missing. And I really wish we could bring that back, because I think that's an important tool. That's compromise, right? That's the heart of, I'm going to give a little bit, I'm going to get a little bit. And sometimes you give more than you get. And that's just the name of the game. But in today's world, it doesn't seem like that's not acceptable anymore. So everybody has to win.
Well, and sometimes I feel like, you know, and just to put, I don't know that I want to say to put a political spin on it, but, you know, if you think about it in politics, right, you have red and you have blue. And the truth of the matter is that I think red and blue are really loud. And I think purple is where a lot of people land, somewhere in the spectrum of purple between red and blue. And it's like those people are afraid to talk now. And why, you know, why is that? Why is there this middle voice of reason in between the two so silent? You know what I mean? And I guess I kind of look at myself as falling in that space, and often will take a seat and not say something because I'm going to... Although I feel like I'm in the purple, but I'm probably a little more blue than purple, right?
You're blue with a purple hue. That's who you
are. Yes. I'm periwinkle. But no, I'm going to get hit by both sides. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to get hit by the far right wing conservatives who are saying, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. And I'm also going to get hit by far left liberals who are saying I'm not being extreme enough. You know what I mean? So I do think that, I think that these people exist. I think that there might just be, they might just be afraid to talk. And so I guess that's, you know, that's another thought to add to the conversation.
Yeah. I have seen so many times in again, the political landscape where I've talked to other Republicans, and I don't just do, you know, I just don't mark the little box that says Republican across all my ballots. I look at each and every single candidate, because there are sometimes I vote Democrat and there's sometimes I vote Republican, because I don't vote for the party. I vote for the individual. I vote for the person who I think is going to do the best job. And that gets me into some hot water sometimes in some of the conversations we have. But And not just between you and me, Jamie. I mean, there's other people that I speak to as well that they're like, will you vote for a Democrat? Because, you know, I recognize as a Republican. But I also recognize that it's not always a one size fits all either. And that's the beauty of how we should be interacting with one another and how we should be making decisions, is that it's not necessarily I view myself as a Republican, so therefore everything that I do has to be Republican. No, sometimes there's candidates out there that a Democrat's a better fit for the job than a Republican, or maybe it's a third party. Maybe it's neither a Republican or Democrat would be a good fit. But I think to just lose that ability to have some of those, I'm not saying everybody does. But in my opinion, losing the ability to have the options to be able to say, I'm going to look at this at the micro and I'm going to make decisions. And I know I'm keeping it within the political platform that you kind of set up here, but I can apply that across my life in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things that I can say, you know what? It doesn't always have to be this way. It can be something different.
Yeah. Well, and to be able to say it's okay that that's comfortable for you and that's okay that this is comfortable for me, and choosing the spaces that you step into to stretch and grow and do those things, that's okay too. As long as we're putting ourselves out there that way sometimes, you know?
It is, but let's have a little bit of a, I don't think we have time to get into the real nitty gritty, but let's talk about something that we, you know, I've said it before. There's some of our conversations that I can only go so far, right? And I'm going to pick on Faith again, because that's the one that points to my mind. There's only a certain point that I can go that I can, I'll use air quotes, accept because of my faith. And so there are times when those difficult conversations happen, not because I'm not trying to understand, but because I'm pushed against the wall of where I can't bend any further. And what I've had to learn in our conversations and this year of podcasting is I thought I was the one that was coming up to a wall. And then I realized there's other people, because of their morals and ethics, even though they don't align to mine, they still have them. And then they come up to a wall too. And so when do you have, like, what do you do in a conversation when I am stretched to the point where I can't bend anymore, but so is the other person? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a real sticky place. That's a real hard conversation. And the best thing that comes to my mind is acknowledging how hard that must be for the other person, because it's hard for me, because there's a line I can't cross. And I always assumed they could go wherever they want because they don't align. They don't have any. If their morals and ethics don't align with mine, they just don't have any. And that's not true. And that's something that I've been learning too. And yeah, when both parties get to that line, that's tough. That's tough for both of them.
You know, my friend, after a year of podcasting, you have become the master of the segue. Because that's a great way to jump into the next topic.
Let's do it.
Well, I kind of thought a great way to end this little series and kind of kick us off into year number two of podcasting together and really kind of promoting this idea of difficult conversations and safe spaces with different people, right? I thought it would be good to talk about, like, I mean, you and I have been having these conversations for eons now, like since we were probably 10, right?
It's old hat by this point.
Well, and I often have people, and I'm sure you do too. I hope you do too. I often have people like, how do you have a conversation like that with someone who believes that way, right? Because I do have friends that believe the same ways I do, right?
All the time. And Jamie, I got to be honest, not to throw shade on you at all, but there's times that I ask that to other people about even our conversations. Like, how do we keep having these conversations? How do we do it? It's tough. It's tough. And what people, and I'm sorry, I know you're trying to make a point. I'll just wrap up real quick. But to say that this is just easy to do, it's not. It's really not. There's been times, and I know we've said it, and I'm going to say it again, we've ended a conversation and not talked for 3 days because we had to recharge our batteries, because we went all in, we spent what we had, and then we couldn't talk to each other because it's like, nope, not yet. I can't. I just can't. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we are, our friendship's done. That doesn't mean that we thought we'll never talk again. We both understand after 30 plus years, we need to take a break. And that's part of our equal ground, right? We both know, hey, either I rattled her cage or she rattled my cage a little too hard. Let's take a breather. We'll come back. But man, it's taxing to have these conversations. The one thing I will say, though, is I still find it very important to have them. And as hard as they are to go through, sometimes emotionally, sometimes physically, they're so important. And you always get a little nugget out of them. And I just don't ever want to not have those types of conversations. And just for the record and everybody listening, we do have some pretty silly conversations, or I would say surface level conversations. It's not like every time we talk, it's let's go 30 miles deep, but we're not afraid to do that either.
Well, and it's shocking sometimes how we can go 30 miles deep about, you know, the lilacs are in bloom. It's crazy, but it's like we do it on purpose. But no, I did kind of want to talk about like some tips and tricks, what we've learned, how you and I do it together, and how we apply it with other people too. Cause I do think that having these kind of conversations with you helps me have better conversations outside of this space, right? So I put together a little list, and these are like Jamie's top five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe six, 5 or 6, because I can't remember. But I think if there's one thing, when we have difficult conversations that don't go well, one of the things that I've been able to reflect on is that those are typically when I walk away really frustrated or really upset, it's because I don't feel like I've been heard. And I also recognize spaces where I have not let you be heard either. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's probably one of my bigger tips, is to make sure that the other person feels heard, and understanding that some people aren't going to have the same skill level. So I might walk away from a conversation not feeling heard. And the more okay I can be with that in spaces where people are learning these skills, I think the better people are for that. You know what I mean? Like I can contribute by maybe not being such a jerk about it when I don't feel like I'm being heard.
I'm glad this is being recorded so I can come back to this segment over and over again. Sorry, go on.
Oh, here I am bearing my soul and it's used as ammunition. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
I have wrote down the minutes and the seconds that this was recorded. I will have this as an audio clip forever. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well, and this is really kind of a Jamie's to-do list or something. Like this is Jamie's reminders to Jamie's self, because Jamie struggles with some of these things, right?
As do we all. As do we all.
Because the next one is tamper your passion. And I think that this is where I get myself in trouble a lot, especially between you and I. I think that's because you and I have known each other long enough that you know how to get that going for me. Like, you know how to get me fired up.
I don't think there's a button that I don't know how to push to get to like move you sideways, to be honest. Exactly. And I can say the same thing to you, right? Like when I need to get a reaction out of you, I can. It's not fun always, but I can.
Well, and if I can remember that maybe the point isn't necessarily convincing you how passionate I am about a topic or a subject, maybe we can get a little bit farther in those conversations. And so that's something that I have thought about for myself too. Another area that I really struggle in, and I feel like you're much better in this than I am, but conceding to a good point, recognizing when you say something that is sound or valid or that is a good point is really hard for me, because it's almost like conceding that little bit of ground gives you the win. And that's not okay, because I have to have the win, right?
See, we talk about that. I fall on the same track too, because it's like if I say, and I try really hard, I want you to know there's many times I bite my tongue and I'm like, hey, that was a really good point. And I'm thinking, I just want to clobber you with it, because it's like, because it is. It's almost like a competition. Like, hey, if I give you this acknowledgement, now the scale's in your favor and I have lost the argument, because it's mm-hmm. no longer about sharing ideas. It's about winning. Yes. And that's dangerous. And I yes. fall into that all the time.
Those are the episodes that are sitting on my desktop that you all will never hear, are the ones where Malin and I are just trying to win. It doesn't help.
I tell you what, though, they are really interesting to listen to. It's like the telenovela of our podcast. It's
I was
like,
gonna say, Jerry Springer, step aside, because here comes yeah. Malin and Jamie. It's terrible. Some of the other, and this is something that has worked for me really well. This is something that I feel like I do really well. Asking questions, seeking to understand first before sharing my own opinion is something that I practice. I have had to practice and learn how to do, and has been a really effective tool for me in not getting overheated when I'm passionate about something and not assuming where the other person's coming from, because that has bit me in the ankle so many times, to assume that when you come to the table saying, hey, I'm pro-choice or I'm pro-life, that I automatically assume where you're coming from. And there may be 100 reasons behind the reason that you believe the way that you believe. And if I don't take the time to understand that, then it's really difficult for me to, I guess, I don't know, humanize it or something so that I can hear it better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So this falls in line for me too. There's been places that I've been working on this for several years. There's some things that I've recently discovered and working on around this. The one that's the most recent for me is, just because I can hear your point of view and I can show you any, and not just you, Jamie, but anybody I'm talking to with these difficult conversations, doesn't mean I accept their belief as my belief. And that was something that, like, a light bulb came on. Oh, it's been a couple of years now, but it's probably one of the newest things that I've really kind of grappled with. And this last year has really helped me kind of hone in on that, to say, I can show people love and compassion, and I'll even use the word empathy. And that doesn't mean that I adopt their way of thinking as my way of thinking. That doesn't make me say what you believe is now what I believe. And that's been huge for me. And that's been kind of one of those blocks that have slipped out of the way now. And I feel like I'm having better conversations, but that is one that I've struggled with for a very long time. And I think a lot of people do. I can't imagine there's people out there that are like, oh no, that's easy for me. I never struggle with that, because I know a lot of people that I would say fall right into that category.
Yeah. I have one more. But I think I want to leave that for last. So I'm going to leave this space open for you to kind of talk about your ideas on what are good tips to have these hard conversations.
Yeah, so you've hit on quite a few good ones. Some of these that I'm gonna give for my list, I think you can see they're probably the same thing, maybe worded differently, or they're kissing cousins from one another. But I think it just shows just how much of an issue it is for everybody. So on my list, here we go. This is one that I've personally have taken a lot of time and focus to work on. I've gotten better at it in some seasons of my life. I've also gotten worse in some seasons of my life. And that is, listen first, speak second. That is something that is really hard for me. I have an idea. I have an agenda when I go into conversations. I have things I want to say. And there's a lot of times when I don't even care what the other person's bringing to the table, because I'm going to show you everything that I have. It is super important, and you're just going to love it when I give it to you. And 9 times out of 10, that is not what happens. That is not the result of the conversation. There was somebody, it's been a while ago. They said, you know, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. And the older I get, the more that I recognize that. This one, though, is one that I do spend a lot of time on, and I struggle with a lot, because it's very easy for me to speak first and listen second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
The other one I'm going to say is around effective communication skills. These are things that I've learned. The most notable, the one that I've gravitated to the most and I just find the most value in, is the nonverbals. So really getting to understand how people's posture, the way they tilt their head, the way they cross their feet, the way they position their body away from you or towards you. It was really great. There was a class I took at one of my jobs that I had, where they talked about the psychology of where somebody in the room, where somebody places themselves in the room around the table, tells a lot about how open or how closed they are going to be in the conversation. And I had no way, I had no idea there was even something around that. That's also where I learned about people who cross their arms versus people that don't cross their arms. People that cross their legs are less likely to be open to new ideas than people that are just sitting with their feet flat on the ground. Where you put your back in the room. So is your back against the wall? Is your back against the door? Tells a lot about people. That was really kind of understanding those communication skills. That was really helpful. Yes, for me to help read the room, but also now when I'm having those conversations, I try to be mindful of how am I projecting myself? Am I projecting myself to be open for the conversation, or am I projecting myself as someone who's like, that's great, I'm waiting for you to get done talking so I can tell you my points of view? And sometimes those scream louder than the words that you're saying, or sometimes you're not saying. And that's been a really effective tool for me.
That's a good one.
Going down further, I have to be mindful. I have to tell myself to be mindful. It's easy for me to go, I'll say cold or calloused, and just have a conversation based on facts. And sometimes those facts are the facts that I choose to believe are facts. But it's easy for me to lose that human side of me to say, I need to be mindful of the other person. I need to be mindful of the topic that we're discussing. It's been a couple years now, but I remember I had an opinion on a certain topic, and the person I was talking to experienced it. And I'll tell you, the emotional reaction that person had, almost, it overwhelmed me. I didn't know where to go with my conversation, because I wasn't being mindful even to recognize the topic that I was talking about could be sensitive. It wasn't sensitive to me. I never experienced it. But the person I was talking to, I assumed, also never experienced it, and that assumption was wrong. So being mindful of the topic, the way I speak, the way I carry myself, the way the person would hear my point of view, although I can't always change that, but to be aware and to be mindful of that is helpful in the conversation. Again, I'm not all the way to the point where I have to make sure that it's every spoonful of information I give someone is laced in sugar so they can, you know, make sure they can take it easy. But I can also recognize that there are opportunities for me to not just come in with a sledgehammer and a wrecking ball. There's sometimes where you do need to come in with a little caution, because you don't know what the other person on the other side of the table has experienced. And I'm learning that firsthand.
That, my friend, is empathy.
The elusive empathy. I don't know what you call this. I've heard it used before as like reflections, but I call that same thing as the what I put up in the nonverbals, but kind of how I hear somebody's idea and what I do with it in the conversation. So what I send back after hearing your conversation means a lot. I put that up underneath the nonverbals, but I have heard that term before, and I wrote that down in some of my research too, which was how you reflect what you're hearing back to someone. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Here's one that I am very weak at, and I call it the compliment sandwich. I think I've heard it before, used before as using affirmations in your conversations. I am not really the greatest in this area. I see through when people give me the compliment. And here's really the reason why. When people give me the compliment sandwich, it drives me nuts, because I'm like, I understand you're giving me a positive, then you're giving me what you really want to talk to me about, and then you're giving me fluffy, you know, a fluffy ender to make me feel good, to pacify me. And for me, that feels a little contrary, you know, like, Don't talk down to me is kind of how I feel. And so I don't use this very well. I don't use this probably the best way, or even at all. It's not my go-to, because I don't like it being done to me.
Just to interject there for a second, I think the interesting thing about that is that someone who is good at that, you don't even know that it's happened. You know what I mean? And I think part of that is really about, the people that I know that use the compliment sandwich well it's because it's not like masking the negative thing I want to talk to you about. You know what I mean? It's like there's one person in particular that I'm thinking of. And when she does that, it's almost because, you know, she's so good at it that you know that the reason she's talking to you about the thing in the middle of the sandwich is because she wants you to be the best you can be. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from, because that's how I feel when I give the compliment sandwich sometimes. Like, hi, here's something nice. Come talk with me so I can tell you this horrible thing that I don't really want to talk about either. And then let me remind you that I still think you're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it feels difficult, but I've met people who do it so well. And I wonder if it's because their mindset coming into those conversations is positive.
Well, no, and I think you're right. And for me, I've had to go to every boss since then, because I got complimented sandwich pretty early on in my career and it was driving me nuts. And I finally, I didn't have years of experience under my belt. So I went to my boss and I said, "You are driving me nuts." And she was like, what are you talking about? And I said, "I cannot stand it when you give me things that I need to improve on and you tell me something nice and then you tell me something I need to work on and then you end with something nice." And she starts laughing and she goes, "You don't like the compliment sandwich?" And I said, "Is that what that's called?" And that was really when I first heard the term for the first time. And I said, "No, it's driving me nuts, because it makes me feel like you are trying to change something that you see in me that you want to be different by not addressing it openly." And I said, "It's almost like you don't think I'm smart enough that I can catch on." And she was like, "Well, I'm not trying to be offensive." So we had this whole conversation and she stopped giving me the compliment sandwich. She's like, "Hey, Malin, I have something I want you to work on." I'm like, "Let's hear it." And she would tell me. I also like, "Hey, Malin, you're doing something really well. Here's what you're doing that's really well." I like to hear that. I don't like to hear, because that's what the compliment sandwich is to me. It's the, "Hey, you're really doing something well," but it's the "oh, but" part that I can't stand. It's like they should be two separate conversations. Tell me what I'm doing good in, and then tell me something you want me to work on. And from that moment on, I have told every one of my leaders going in, "I do not appreciate having the compliment sandwich used on me. If you want to give me a praise, please give me a praise. If you want to give me something to work on, just come tell me what you want me to work on." And ever since I've done that, it has been great, because all my bosses from that point on, they come to me and they say, "Hey, you're doing really well, Malin. Here's, you know, good job, gold star, keep it up." Or, "Hey, Malin, we need you to look at this a little bit differently. We need you to work on this." And then I know. And I don't feel like I'm being tricked into trying to change something. And I know that's partly me. But I realized over the years that me even having that conversation with my bosses to say, "This is something I don't appreciate," was beneficial for both parties. Because now they're not irritating me when they're trying truly to just give me, "Hey, we just want you to know, we think you're doing a good job. There is something that we want you to work on, but I don't want that something to cloud the fact that you're a really great employee and we value you." But what it was doing is it was making me feel like they were talking down to me as if I was not smart enough to understand what they were doing, which might not have been their point, but that's how I took it. So one last thing for me, and I don't know how you call this, and I think this is something similar that you talked about, maybe, Jamie, I can't remember your 5 points off the top of my head, but I always try to find a place where I can relate. And if I can show in conversation, especially difficult conversations, I said earlier on, if I go into a conversation and I don't know that this is going to be a difficult conversation, what I try to do is I try to make common ground as quickly as possible. And so if there is something that I can relate to that person, I try to use that as a way to say, "Listen, I'm going to build a bridge. It might be weak. It might be on something that maybe the first thing that comes to my mind, although this is really terrible, is we have a love of the same television show. I don't know. But what I try to do is I try to say, "You know, you're having an experience. Maybe you're having a tough time at work. Guess what? I have similar tough times at work. It may not be the same tough times, but let me build a bridge over to you to say, I understand where your frustration's coming from, because I also have frustrations." And once that's established, I think that's where hopefully some conversation can start. But to me, I think that's really important in having these types of conversation is, when you go into them, try to find that common ground. And if you don't have anything that's really right there visible, try to build it off of something, because we are more alike in a lot of ways than we think. And I think if we can find those areas and we can connect with people in those difficult conversations, even if it's something as silly as a favorite TV show, it doesn't change the fact that this is a difficult conversation. But what it does is it makes the other person feel a little bit more human. And I think it's a lot easier when you can relate to somebody in even the smallest way. When you have to have that tough conversation, suddenly it's easier in your mind, at least it is for me, it's easier to give that person the benefit of the doubt. It's easier to understand, well, they're not trying to attack me. Because if you don't have that common ground, it's very easy to make the other person the villain or the enemy. And you don't even, again, I'm speaking for myself, I don't even feel bad about it because I don't have anything that relates me to them. So that's what I try to do.
Well, and that's, you know, we kind of spoke to that a little bit, because it's like you and I get to come to this space with automatic common ground, right? Like we have so much shared history that we don't even have to worry about that. It's just part of, it's built in for us. But I think it is an important piece of having difficult conversations, because I always try to think about it like, you know, why do you want to care what I think? You know what I mean? And why do I want to care what you think? And if we can't establish some sort of rapport in that way, then what's the point? You know, why even bother trying to have the conversation? Because that's when it gets ugly, I think, when there's no ability to find the commonalities. So those are all really good tips. The last one, I feel like you said, and that's kind of why I tried to shut you down and transition to a different topic. I'm just kidding.
Actually, this is Jamie trying to steal my words, but go ahead, Jamie, go ahead.
Well, you talked about, you know, taking your toys from the playground and going home. And I think that the biggest tip for me has been to come back to the table, you know, to keep coming back and trying to have those conversations, not giving in and just assuming that everyone who professes to have a certain opinion believes the same things, you know, to continue to try and have those conversations, because it's been so valuable for me to push through and learn how to have the conversation, to learn how to come to the table. One of the things that really impacted me and really kind of, I think, drove some of these conversations in this little mini series that we've done was another podcast that, I don't know, they were having an episode or a live or something. I can't remember for sure, but they were shouting out our podcast and they said something like they're having difficult conversations that we wish we could have, you know, that we would love to have. And I think it just kind of hit home for me how hard this is and how many people struggle with it and want to have these conversations. Because I think at the end of the day, and if there's one thing that I've learned about people, is that we all want to be known. You know, we want to know and we want to be known. And so that is the value, I think, in being able to transcend what we automatically think and believe and, you know, our little circles of people that we tend to hang out with. You know, if we can move past that, the value in showing value to other people is huge for me. And coming back to the table is the only way that we can do that is to practice and keep trying.
Well, and you forgot one of the important aspects of that compliment that we were given is they said we're doing it in a very classy way. And I say that not as a pat on our back, but as in a way to say, you know, there's a lot of people that can have these difficult conversations, but are they there to damage the other person? Are they there just to beat their ideas into somebody else's head? Is it there just for a show and, hey, look how horrible of a train wreck this can be? And that's one thing that you and I really discussed early on that said, we want a place where people can come where they feel like, hey, we're not trying to call you out and make fun of you. We're trying to really understand, because some of these are foreign to us and some of them are completely opposite of what we think. And we really want to get into your point of view. And so when they said we did it in a very classy way, that did two things for me. That made me smile, first of all. And second of all, that showed me that people that are tuning in or that are outside looking in are seeing that this is an actual conversation that's being done in a very polite and I will say maybe even loving way, where, yeah, we're still going to ask some of the difficult questions. We're still going to go and look in some of the corners of this, but we're doing it so it's not meant to hurt somebody. It's not meant to say you're an idiot for doing this or you're a bad person if you do this. It's more of a, you have a perspective. Let's learn what we can from it. And sometimes I'm going to speak for myself again. I learn more from certain perspectives than I do others, but every single one of those conversations were very important. And I think that's really the key. If you can do this in a classy manner, that shows respect, that shows the best of intent. And I think that puts both parties best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because that compliment to us about we're doing it in a classy way wasn't just for us. We've had many guests come on our podcast and that classiness extends to them as well. So, you know, to me, it's an art, it's a science, it's sometimes making the other person shine a little bit brighter than you, but it's very important. And so I just wanted to add to your story because I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I was actually part of that conversation. But I think that's an important element.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. I just have to end it that way. No, I'm just kidding. So I think this is a good time to kind of, you know, we're at a year as of the time that this is going to drop. It is going to be a year of podcasting, and it has been an incredible, incredible journey, an adventure. We're going to use all the cringy words that we can, but it has been so growing. And quite frankly, my friend, I think what I love the most is that it has even sharpened our abilities and skills in this area. Something that I thought you and I, like, we don't have to worry about it. We do it well. We've already got the knack for it because we've been doing it for so long. I've really learned there are still things like spaces for us to grow too. You know what I mean? And so I guess I just appreciate the safe space that you have made for me to be me and to work through those things and hope that I've been able to do the same for you. I look forward to what's coming next. I look forward to putting these things into practice in spaces that are hard for me too, because I feel like you've put yourself in those spaces a lot this last year, and now it's going to be my turn a little bit too. So
yes, what we're calling season two of Roundtable Mindset is putting Jamie, even if she's kicking and streaming, into those positions as well. But no, really circling back, because you said something that I thought was a little bit profound and I just wanted to add to it is, and one thing that I've had to learn, you know, there was our common space that we've referenced. And again, I've referenced it several times, even in this episode where we have 30 plus years of experience. One thing this year of podcasting has taught me is that time isn't the only element, because there has been some difficult conversations that we've had. And again, we've had to walk away from one another and we've said, you know what, we'll come back later. We can't. And I've had to learn that I rested a lot on just how long we've been friends. And yes, we have a deep friendship that I think is pretty at this point. I don't think you're going to be able to shake me and I'm going to be able to shake you.
Lifelong.
But time isn't the only element there. There's still some care and concern, and there's still some respect. And sometimes you eat crow and sometimes you let the other person shine, like I said earlier, a little bit brighter than you. All of those things come in together. So time, that's the one thing that I've learned in all of this, is that's not the only element. It's important. It's a great amplifier, right? Like there are some things that I know I can say to your face about you, or you can say to my face about me, and we will be just fine. But that's not the only secret ingredient. And that's something I had to learn this last year, especially when we first started podcasting. Again, those episodes that are on your desktop make me smile, because as much as we're like, oh, we got this, we're good, the first difficult conversation and we're screaming at each other, click, 3 days go by. Okay, it's time to talk again. So, you know,
it happens. The first time we hit record was like that. It was great. And I remember your kids being like, is every episode going to be about that or something like that? Yeah. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Well, I just want to thank you all. Those of you that have been listening for a long time, those of you that have been listening for a short time, those of you that are part of our Patreon, those of you that are part of our Facebook page or Instagram or wherever it is that you connect with us, I just want to say thanks. I would like to say, I think I would probably do this with you, whether people were listening or not. But it just makes it so much more fun that people are listening. So we are super appreciative of all of our listeners and our guests. Oh my gosh, all of our guests. It's been a cool thing.
Yeah. So for me, humbling comes to mind because I can't believe there's people out there that really listen to what we have to say. That's very humbling and appreciative. We haven't said in a while. So again, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you can go follow us on any major platform, like, share, follow, all that fun stuff. I've waited too long. There was a point I was going to make. Oh, our guests. One of the things that I wanted to say is I want to thank each and every one of our guests that have come on. Because of this platform, because of this podcast, there are individuals that I have talked to and met that I would never have done in a million years. And I am a better person after talking to them. Doesn't mean I align with them. It doesn't mean that I agree with everything they have to say. And I'm sure they do not agree with everything that I've said. But that's not the point. The point is that I've met them. I had a chance to talk to them. And there's some really great people out there that have a different point of view than me. And they are great people. And I truly love the opportunity that I got to speak with every single one of our guests for a variety of different reasons. And I cannot wait to talk to more people that are not like me in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been incredible. So I guess with all of that, we're just saying, come back to the table, join us again. As we continue to move forward through some of these difficult spaces and having some of these difficult conversations. But with a good intention, you know, we have intention to learn and grow from them, and hope you do too. So thanks for joining us today on Roundtable Mindset, and we'll see you again next time.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye. This podcast was recorded and edited by Jamie and Malin. Music by Famous Cats. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, please email us at roundtablemindset@gmail.com. Text or call us at 402-819-8999 or join the conversation on Facebook at Roundtable Mindset Podcast.
And never miss a new episode by making sure you like, subscribe, and share wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for being our guest today. See you next time at the Roundtable. And remember, your opinions and perspectives matter and are appreciated, but might not always be shared by others. And that's okay.